Good afternoon and good evening, everybody. Welcome back into Mining Stock Daily. The bell has just rung. The markets are closed for the day. We are in after-hours trading. A pretty good day for precious metals. Gold, it was up $33.50 on the December futures basis to $2,054. Silver futures basis up over a dollar, almost 4%, just over that $27 mark. So good all-around day for precious metals. The miners per the GDX, they started off hot out of the gate, but kind of came down and settled basically flat for the day. GDXJ, that was up about 1%, just closed above the $64 mark. If you may recall, back in, it was May, in the news briefing, we highlighted a specific drill intercept from Rock Cliff that had some pretty outstanding high-grade copper and zinc mineralization at their Freebeth property, and that included just over 5% copper equivalent over 2.3 meters and 4% copper equivalent over 4.5 meters. I am now joined by the CEO of that company, Mr. Alistair Ross. And Alistair, it's a pleasure to have you on to Mining Stock Daily. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Trevor. Pleasure.
Rock Cliff is traded on the CSE with RCLF, and it's an interesting business strategy you have, Alistair. So before we kind of get into your approach to adding value for your shareholders, give us a little bit of a rundown of what Rock Cliff is and the assets you have in your portfolio.
Sure. So Rock Cliff has started on a new lease of life about a year ago, May of last year, when a major private equity investor put a bunch of money into the company that had about 28 to 29 million Canadian end up in our treasury, with the sole purpose from that investor to get away from the sort of 15-year history that Rock Cliff had prior to that of an explorer to becoming a producer. And a new management team put in place that was all complete by about November of last year. And that experienced management team is now pushing studies through as fast as we can on the back of drill results into some key properties that prove up enough resource to put some mine plans together, some metallurgical test work to allow our leased mill, that is a nickel mill, to be transformed into a copper zinc mill. So what Rock Cliff is up to is bringing some copper-rich deposits that are really the crumbs off the Hud Bay table, by and large, up in the Snow Lake region of Manitoba, and taking relatively small deposits that were too small for Hud Bay that they let go over time, and find a strategy that says, you know, without now needing the capital to build a mill, because we have a lease on a mill, can we bring mines into production with relatively small capital, but some significant copper production and therefore some decent cash flow? So what we're up to is proving that our types of deposit, which are narrow vein, steeply dipping ore bodies, can be mined in a fashion where the hub and spoke strategy, where you develop one mine, depleted rather rapidly with another mine coming on behind it. And so over time, we've got eight of these deposits that we believe have the potential to do that, and feed them through a central mill. So clearly there's a transport issue for us that we need to manage of ore to a mill. And if we can find the right cost for the mine, the transport, and the mill, show a very good, robust business plan that we believe we're imminently about to do. So I think that's a summary good enough for you, Trevor, unless there's some questions on that.
Yeah, no, there's some follow-up. And you and I had a conversation about Rock Cliff leading up to this discussion for the listeners. And I think what's important for everybody to note is the strategy is aggressive, but I think in turn, you are not trying to be something you're not. You realize that these are smaller deposits, and so your value is going to be very fast and very quick. And then once it's done, you're going to get out and go to the next project. So can you give us, in your own words, talk about the time frame into production, and then, you know, giving what you can say, how long you think a quote unquote life of mine of these projects might last?
Sure, and so I'll name a couple of them just so that you can begin to get a flavor of it. So the Tower deposit is located approximately 120 kilometers by tarred road to the Bucco mill that we've leased from Kinnickel. So that particular deposit at the moment is sitting at approximately a million plus tons of indicated resource and about another 400,000 for a total of just nearly 1.6 million tons of total, so indicated and inferred. And so assuming that the drilling proves up the inferred, and we've just started to do some of this, and we get all of that into indicated, the mine life that we would anticipate is only about 3 years, because we're looking at mining about 500,000 tons a year of resource. We'll come back to what the actual total mining rate is, because that doesn't count the dilution, but clearly that's what we want to send to the mill. So if you've only got a 3 year mine life currently, the deposit's open and there's history in that region that after a production decision's made in one of those mines, that the whatever resource is there on the books at the day you start the construction of the mine, typically the mine life extends by a factor of just over two. So if you've got 3 years mine life, typically you might expect something like 5 or 6 years actual total. We are open to the south and at depth, so there is some room for us to expand, and you know, we would hope to do that fairly shortly, but I don't think we need to wait and prove that up for our production decision, because the next part of your question is how fast can you get into production? And you know, you mentioned aggressive. You know, so far we haven't missed any of our timelines. We started putting timelines out in November of last year, and here we are, you know, in August already of this year, and we're on track to meet all of our timelines. So the balance of the timelines would suggest that our PEA will be out in a matter of weeks now for the economic release. We'll publish the full PEA 45 days after we do those economics. So you can imagine somewhere around the first week of October, the full PEA will be published. But we would have made a decision prior to that internally with our board that if the PEA economics are as expected, that we would actually commence almost immediately the pre-feasibility balance of the work, and then come October or maybe November at the latest, we'd actually begin the feasibility study work. And the reason we're able to go that fast at that level is that when you see the level of detail that will be published in our PEA, we're very, very close to a pre-feasibility study level, barring six key areas that the pre-work will do. Assuming that we don't miss any of our deadlines, which we haven't yet, the feasibility study we imagine being completed somewhere around the mid-February mark. And that's an important time for us, because if the feasibility study proves up everything that we found out so far, we would anticipate going immediately into construction. And the immediate part is that we beat an environmental condition on when we can actually clear ground, grub the area where we want to put the surface works for the mine. There's a window where you can't do it in the spring season of May, June, July, when nesting birds would occupy the ground level. So if we can get in March and do that grubbing for the portal and campsite, that means that we meet those conditions. And then we're really on track to continue the balance of the work. The beauty about these mines is that they're going to be relatively low capital. You know, sort of numbers we got that we're hoping to be confirmed in our PEA would suggest you can build one of these mines for somewhere in the region of $40 to $50 million. And what that means is it won't take too long to spend that sort of money on developing twin ramps, which is our approach for our mining method, to get underground to the ore, which is only going to be some 110 to 120 meters below ground level. And then we go down 90 meters from there to open up the first stoping level. And so we're anticipating being into first ore for development somewhere in the fourth quarter of next year, with stockpiles being built up and some mill commissioning occurring in the first quarter, such that by second quarter of 2022, there will be pretty much steady state production. And we're anticipating somewhere in the realm of the 15 to 20,000 tons a year of copper at that point in concentrate.
Well, you've just laid out a pretty tight time frame from getting it from PEA stage where you're at now into potentially construction after the feasibility. On top of that, you have $10 million in the bank, and through the conversation you had with me, you've also assured that you think that's enough to get you up through the feasibility stage. That includes the leasing of the mill and all the general working capital and any exploration costs. So walk us through that.
Yeah, that's correct. So let's stay on the flow-through side of our expenditures. So Canada has a really favorable system for exploration raises. And so on the flow-through side of our expenditure, which we will be looking at putting more drill holes in the ground, for the feasibility study, we'll be proving up about 500,000 tons or so into the measured category. And we'll pull a balance of, we believe, with the work we're doing right now, the drills are going at the Tower property as we speak. The two campaigns we've got currently are looking to expand the Tower copper resource beyond its sort of 1.6 million tons combined, indicated and inferred. We wanted to add another 500,000 or so of inferred to get us to the 2 million ton mark on the copper deposit. But we've also got a drill going in a pretty exciting nickel prospect, which is just 600 meters away from where the end of the Tower copper resource is, where we've got, you know, over 5% nickel equivalent on a drill intercept over about 2.5 meters. So we're probing some more of that too. Anyway, so that's the drill program. The money that we have in the treasury at the moment is more than enough to complete the Tower copper drilling and our current nickel prospect. In fact, we have monies left over for contingency inside of that. And then on our hard dollar bank account, that is tight. Won't deny it, Trevor, you're right. But we've got very good costings from the PEA of all the people we need to do our engineering work. So we're quite confident that even if we're a bit short, it's not a difficult raise to complete a feasibility study. The bulk of the money is already in the bank account, if not all. And so, yes, we may do a raise on the back of announcing the PEA results and our nickel drilling results, just to cover us through any contingency that may be required to complete the feasibility. But by and large, $10 million is going to get us most of the way there for sure.
Yeah. We only got a couple minutes left here, Alistair, but it's a very different business proposition than we are hearing from a lot of other junior companies that are in both the exploration and development stage. What is the value proposition for potential new shareholders and investors into your company? How are you explaining this to them?
I think the first thing is we've got this very, very good land position in a very good jurisdiction, and we're in this very good metal called copper. Copper's got an outrageous future in front of it over the next 10 years, as best we can tell. And so I think we've got a lot of the right places for us to be. I think the second part is that our whole company is built on being agile, high-performance teamwork and innovative. And when you see what's in our PEA, I think you're going to see a lot of value that can be brought to small projects. And so that third piece of the small projects is there's a big niche for us. We don't have to go find the initial next phase projects as we develop this pipeline. They've already been named by companies that have been there before us. The matter is just drilling them out. Are they 1.5 million tons? Are they 2.5 million tons? We've got, like the Copper Man, for example. We haven't put a drill in there yet, but there's a historical resource of 250,000 tons of 5.5% copper equivalent, and it's not drilled below 150 feet below ground. It hasn't been closed off. So we're very confident that we've got a lot of properties that can fill this pipeline. And then the final piece of the strategy there is, do we get big enough with enough cash, which we believe we will be able to, where we actually run two mines at a time, double the capacity in the mill and go from a sort of 20,000 to 40,000 plus ton a year of copper equivalents. So we think it's a very good place to be, and we're going to be doing it very cost effectively.
And when can we see some of these new drill results, and when? What's the time frame again for the release of the PEA?
Yeah, so with PEA economics will be out sort of third week or so of August, and the drill results will start to come out in a very similar time frame. So somewhere between there and first week of September, you should see a fair number of drill results for us in the next phase.
All right, lots of news flow for you this fall.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, lots of fun too.
All right, that is Alistair Ross. He is the CEO of Rockcliff Metals. Again, Rockcliff trades on the Canadian Securities Exchange with the symbol RCLF. Alistair, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Trevor. I enjoyed it.
All right, we will be back again tomorrow morning with the news briefing. Take care, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.